Travel writer Sue Wallace loves great trains, and she's written up her list of the greatest railway rides, which she shared with Veronica Matheson.
It's terrific to chat to someone who's been on so many of the world's great train journeys. Why do you love train travel so much?
Well, I think it's just a great way of travelling. You get to look out the window, and it's a lot less hassle at compared to going to airports, struggling with luggage and security. And when you're on these great trains, there really is a surprise around every bend. And I think when you hear that whistle blow, you really feel you are off on an adventure. Talking about just normal trains, but trains that go down as the great ones.
As you say, you've done quite a few. The one that really interests me is the Russian one, Trans-Siberian Railway. Now, I did that about 20 years ago, and mine was a pretty rough trip. Tell me about yours. I think you went on the upper-class one, did you?
Yes, I did the Zarin Gold Trans-Siberian Railway from Moscow to Beijing, and it was actually classed as the Tsar's Gold Private Train. Certainly a far cry from your typical Russian trains. And we had a nostalgic-style cabin that converts to a comfortable bed with an overhead bunk. But there's a tiny shower between the rooms. But it was a great atmosphere, and it was a 15-day journey with guides, and we went from Moscow to Beijing right across Siberia. And yes, it was excellent. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. And did you get off at the stations? I mean, we used to get off at the stations to buy food, but I'd imagine your food was on board.
It was, but every day we'd get off and we'd go on a tour with an English-speaking guide, and then we'd have lunch or dinner when we got back. And so it was a lot of fun and learnt a lot about the countries we were going through.
It was quite a long trip. So what did you do about luggage? Did you pack a whole pile of clothes?
Very limited space. So we had, took out clothes we wanted, and then they stored our bags for us. And there are 164 passengers on our train from 23 nations. So it was a great mixture, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, it certainly would be. And you dress for dinner, would you?
Yes, it wasn't as dressy as some of the trains I've been on, because you were off and on all day. But yes, it was a very nice train. Apart from the tiny bathroom, it had a shower curtain that would stick to you every time you turned it on.
I think it sounds terrific. What about some of the stops along the way that stand out?
We went through Mongolia, and we went out into the countryside and visited lots of villages, and where they loved their sports activities, their archery and their horses. And then in Siberia, we stopped different towns and cities, and I was so surprised in the middle of Siberia and these towns to see some palm trees. So, and I think people obviously wanted to have a palm tree, and so they did. So yes, but lots of museums and art galleries.
And when you came to the stations, were the crowds there waiting to have a look at you?
So much excitement there were, and people, when you say you're on the Trans-Siberian, they all think, that's a great adventure, and it really was one of the best things I've ever done.
And tell me about other trips.
Well, in Australia, there's the fabulous GAN that takes you to such an epic and iconic trip from Adelaide to Darwin. And it provides a great taste of the outback with stops at Alice Springs and Catherine. And it was named after the Afghan Cameleers, so there's a great history. And it caters for all budgets. There's, different classes where you can sit, and there's goes up to a premium club lounge. But it's the views, and it's just looking at that red outback dust, which goes on for miles. But there's a lot of history there, and it's a great way to see the country, I think.
And it's also great that you can now go from Adelaide to Darwin. Before, you couldn't do that, could you? You could only go to Central Australia.
That's right. So they've really added that bit on, and it's 2,979 kilometres, so it's certainly quite a train trip.
And when you were on it, were there mostly Australians, or were there internationals?
There were quite a few Australians, and I think people do it for anniversaries or special birthdays. But there were obviously a lot of international travellers who thought it was a good way to see the country.
Now, the other trips that you've done, I mean, in Europe, have you done any train trips?
Yes, I've done the Glacier Express in Switzerland. It was amazing. You go pass through the resorts of St. Moritz and Zermatt, You go through 90 tunnels and 291 bridges, and that was lovely. And also the Bernina Express, which takes you through incredible alpine landscapes.
So you saw lots of snow, did you?
Yes, a lot of snow, and it snowed most of the trip, but it was very pretty looking out at all the trees and the mountains.
Yes, I'm sure also you've done the Rocky Mountaineer.
Yes, that is amazing.
In Canada.
Canada has such drop-dead gorgeous scenery. And, you know, the Rocky Mountaineer traverses through the country's most stunning landscape. You go past glacier-fed lakes and snow-covered mountains and wild rivers, and then every now and again you see some wildlife and someone yells out, oh, there's a bear over there. So it's a lot of fun and takes you past, you know, World Heritage sites of Banff and Jasper and Lake Louise. The last one I did was the Blue Train in South Africa. That was fabulous, and it was a great way to see the country, and it operates from Pretoria to Cape Town, and you can see some wildlife as you go along, and of course Table Mountain. That was an adventure as well.
Now, you've also been to Ecuador, haven't you?
Yes, I have. In Ecuador, there's an amazing train called the Tren Siquira. And that goes right up through the Andes. It's not a train you pick on, you get on and you have lunch, lovely lunch, and you go to some amazing markets. And that does the steep, zigzagging Devil's Nose, it's called, and it's known as one of the most difficult pieces of railway.
Oh, that sounds scary.
So it's backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, and it's really an engineering feat.
Uh-huh. So you didn't feel at all nervous?
No. But when I got off and then looked up where we had actually come from, I did.
Yes, that puts everything into perspective. So if someone was going on one of these iconic trips, what would you advise them to take with them?
I would take clothes you can don't need ironing, obviously, and just things you can dress up. I always take pashmina. You can wrap around your shoulders if you're cool, and also dress things up if you're going out for dinner. Easy clothes these days. You know, during the day on a lot of these trains, dress is just casual, and even at night, it's it's nice to dress up. But if you haven't got room in your luggage, no one worries. But, yes, the less the better, I think, travelling.
Good idea, because you have to cart them onto the train anyway,
that's
don't
right.
you?
Yes.
And usually the trains, they leave from a very central spot.
I think that's great, and that's one of the advantages, whereas airports are always so far out of the city. And, if you're going on, especially the quick, fast trains in Europe, much better than messing around at airports. Mm.
A lot of people are sort of a little bit reticent about going on a train journey. I mean, is this because they think it's sort of old-fashioned?
I think it probably is, but it really is a great way to see the countryside, like the Trans-Siberian Railway. I mean, that was 15 days, which was a very long trip. But it really gave you a look. You know, you went through Mongolia, Siberia, and then into China. So it gave you a good look at the countryside, which if you're flying, you obviously don't see.
A lot of the places that you actually visit when you're on a train, does that give you sort of an incentive to go back to these places?
Yes, I think it does. I would love to go back to Mongolia because it was such an exciting and different place, and the scenery is amazing. And I would never have had a little sneak preview of it if I hadn't done that train trip.
The sort of people you meet on these trips, are they mostly well-travelled people?
Yes, I think they are, and they're people who have an interest in travel, and a lot of people have on the Trans-Siberian had always been on their bucket list, and also the Blue Train. People had, saved up and often... Yes, it's just something they've always wanted to do, and the same with the Rocky Mountaineer.
So are you planning another train journey?
Oh, I would like to do. There's some wonderful train journeys in India, including the Maharajas Express.
Oh, that sounds very grand.
Yes, which is described as a palace on wheels, so that's on my list. But,
right.
We'll see.
Veronica Matheson there with Sue Wallace, who's taken many of the world's classic train journeys. And I'd like to try that one too, that last one she just mentioned. You're on Travel Writers Radio on J Air.